In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I gave you an assignment yesterday, and you were to read Judges 11 and also Genesis 22. I need to tell you about the book of Judges because it's very interesting what's happening in Israel during the time of the Judges. Now, they're not judges the way we would think a judge is. What was happening in Israel that God would listen to his people, you see, because the people were crying out, "Would you save us, Lord?" Because all the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, all these ites were after them, and they were destroying Israel. And they were destroying Israel because Israel continued to worship false gods. So they would cry out unto the Lord, "Oh Lord, help us, help us, help us, help us, help us." And then the Lord would take just an ordinary person, even sub-ordinary, like we see in Gideon. When the Lord goes to Gideon, he says, "Oh, you mighty warrior." And Gideon looks up and says, "You've got to be kidding. Lord, who? Mighty warrior, I'm the runt of the litter. And where have you been, God? Where have you been?" That's what Gideon says, if you would read the story of Gideon. He says, "You know, where are these great signs and wonders that we heard that you've done? Where are you, Lord?" You know, even Gideon, you know, that sometimes you just have to give God back his own words, you know, in the scripture, the inspired words of God. "Where have you been, Lord? Where have you been? We thought that you were the God of wonders." Well, the Lord says, "I'm going to raise you up, Gideon." Why does he raise Gideon up? Now, Gideon is the runt of the litter, so to speak. He's so weak. And God takes this ordinary, subordinary man, and he pours out his Holy Spirit upon him. And what happens is he goes in the strength of the Lord. You see, he goes in the strength of the Lord. And then after Gideon dies, you know what happens? Even before he dies, he goes back to his own work. What happens is that the Israelites start hobnobbing with the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and all the other ites, and they become just like them, okay? They become just like them. And what do the people start doing? People start crying out unto the Lord, "Oh, Lord, help us, oh, God." Does that sound familiar? You know, we get close to God, and then, you know, we start hobnobbing with the world and materialism and all this stuff, and then things bad start happening. We say, "Oh, God, help me, I'll never do it again, I'll never do it again, I'll never do it again, never again, Lord, I won't never do it again." So the Lord comes, because the Lord's like that, and he comes to help us, and we get on our feet again, and things good happen, and then we start hobnobbing with the world again, hobnobbing with the devil, hobnobbing, you know, with the people we shouldn't be hobnobbing with. And then we cry out again, because the Ammonites start coming after us, and we start getting our enemies, "Oh, Lord, no more, I won't ever sin again against you, oh, my Lord." As Joshua says, "Make a decision today. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." And Israel said, "We too will serve the Lord." And I have to laugh at that because, you know what? Yeah, we'll serve the Lord when it's convenient. So these judges were people that God raised up from the ranks of Israel. They were nobodies, even sub-nobodies. And they would rule and war in the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And they would do it until they defeated their enemies, and then the people would cry out again when they started to sin, and God would raise up another judge. This is what happens in the book of Judges. This is kind of a synopsis of the book of Judges. Today we're looking at Jephthah. Now Jephthah is a mighty interesting person because it says in Judges 11, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty warrior, but he was the son of a prostitute." My Lord. So Gilead was the father of Jephthah, and Gilead's wife also bore him sons. And when his wife's sons grew up, they threw Jephthah out and said to him, "You shall not inherit our father's house, for you are the son of another woman. You are the son of a harlot. You are the son of a prostitute." Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and dwelt in the land of Tob. And worthless fellows collected round Jephthah and went raiding with him. After a time, the Ammonites made war against Israel. And when the Ammonites made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to bring Jephthah from the land of Tob. And they said to Jephthah, come and be our leader, that we might fight with the Ammonites. But Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, did you not hate me? Did you not drive me out of my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in trouble? In other words, you threw me out. You threw me out. I was a man of war. You threw me out because my mother was a prostitute, because you didn't want me to inherit any of your father's household. You threw me out. Now you're coming after me because you're in trouble. It sounds like, you know, this is what we do to God. Why have you come to me when you are in trouble? And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, that is why we have turned to you now, that you may go with us and fight with the Ammonites and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. And Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight with the Ammonites, and the Lord gives me over to me, I will be your head. And the elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, the Lord will be witness between you and us, between us, and we will surely do as you say. So Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and leader over them. And Jephthah spoke all his words before the Lord at Mizpah. Okay, so now we see a new charismatic leader. His name is Jephthah. I'm going to the 29th verse. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed through Gilead and Manasseh. And he passed on Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed on to the Ammonites. And Jephthah made a vow. This is interesting. Jephthah made a vow. What's wrong with this picture? To the Lord. And said, if thou wilt give the Ammonites into my hand, then whoever comes forth from the doors of my house to meet me when I return victorious from the Ammonites shall be the Lord's, and I will offer him up for a burnt offering. So what does he do? He bargains with God. He bargains with God. He says, if we defeat the Ammonites, what I will do is the first person who comes out of the door of my house will be offered as a holocaust, will be burnt, a burnt offering unto the Lord. So he bargains with God. Now the story goes, he defeats the Ammonites. And that's what happens. He defeats the Ammonites. And that's a good thing. Then, verse 34. Then Jephthah came to his home at Mizpah, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and dances. She was his only child. Beside her, he had neither son nor daughter. And when he saw his daughter come out of the door, he rent his clothes and said, alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low, and you have become the cause of great trouble to me. For I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I cannot take back my vow. And she said, my father, if you have opened your mouth to the Lord, do to me according to what has gone forth from your mouth. Now the Lord has avenged you from your enemies, the Ammonites. And she said to her father, let me do this thing. Let me alone for 2 months, that I may go and wander on the mountains and mourn my virginity, I and my companions. And he said, go. And he sent her away for 2 months, and she departed. She and her companions, they bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And at the end of 2 months, she returned to her father, who did with her according to his vow that he had made. She had never known a man, and it became a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went year by year to lament the daughters of Jephthah, the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in the year. Now the question is, what's wrong with that picture? What's wrong with that picture? That's the question. Let's review what's happened. Jephthah is the son of a harlot. His brothers throw him out of the house so that he will not receive any of the inheritance of his father. But Jephthah is a great warrior. He's a great warrior. So his brothers come to him when the Ammonites are biting at their feet. when the Ammonites are destroying them. Come and rule over us. And he says, you threw me out. Now you want me to rule over you? So Jephthah says, I will rule over you, and we will defeat the Ammonites. Now the Ammonites were pagans. Now Jephthah bargains with God. If you cause us to win, the first person who comes out of the door will be a holocaust unto the Lord, a sacrifice. And it was his daughter. He won the war with the Ammonites. The Ammonites were defeated, and now the daughter comes out of the door, and she's going to be killed and burnt, just like a lamb. What's wrong with the picture? I told you to read Genesis 22. And it was the story of Abraham offering up Isaac. When God called Abraham to offer up Isaac, Abraham thought it was very natural because everybody else offered their firstborn to the Lord. Isaac was the firstborn. The firstborn of Abraham. So when God said, Go to a mountain I'm going to show you, to offer your son Isaac, God, you know, Abraham thought it was just perfect. You know, everybody else did it. This is the real God. So you know what? The real God, the one God, the holy God, wants Isaac as a holocaust. So I'll do it. His heart probably failed as they were walking up the mount called Moriah. And when Isaac said to him, Father, you have the wood. You have the fire for the sacrifice. You're the priest. You've got the knife to kill the sacrifice. Where is the lamb? Abraham's heart fails. God will provide the lamb. And so we took him up to the top of Mount Moriah, and he put him on the altar. Abraham's the priest. And he takes his knife, because first of all, you kill the sacrifice, and then you burn him. And God stayed his hand. Abraham, I did not require the blood of Isaac. I required your obedience. And when Abraham looked, there was a ram in the thicket. Abraham unties Isaac and sacrifices the ram. God provided a lamb. Now, in Christ Jesus, God has provided the lamb. The lamb of sacrifice, where there will be no more blood sacrifices anymore, because it's the one sacrifice of Calvary once and for all. No more blood sacrifices, no more. But we are to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice of praise, which is our spiritual worship. We are to offer our lives totally, completely, and entirely unto the Father through Jesus Christ, in Him, with Him, and through Him. In the unity of the Holy Spirit. No more blood sacrifice. Now let's go back to Jephthah. What's wrong with the picture? I'm going to tell you what's wrong with the picture. Jephthah forgot the history of Israel, that God did not require the blood of their children. He required obedience and faithfulness. Why did he forget? I'm going to tell you why he forgot. Because he got his instructions not from the God of Israel, not from their tradition with the capital T, but from the Ammonites, the Hittites, the Jebusites. All these ites still offered their children, the firstborn, to Moloch. What happened? I'm going to tell you what happened. Jephthah knew the world more than he knew the faith of Israel. Jephthah learned from the Ammonites that they offered their children to their God. So when his daughter comes out, he will offer his daughter to the Lord. But the Lord does not want the blood of Jephthah's daughter. But because Jephthah was so stupid, because he didn't know his faith, because he had forgotten the God of Israel, because he learned from the Ammonites and not from the God of Israel, not from his tradition with a capital T, he offers his daughter If he knew anything, he would know that Abraham offered Isaac, and Isaac was not accepted as a sacrifice. But you see, he was more in tune with the world than he was with the history of the God of Israel, with the faith history of the God of Israel. This is thrilling because you know what? It's exactly what's happening today in the West. It's exactly what's happening today in the West. We are more in tune with the world than we are with the faith that has been handed on to us from Abraham unto Jesus to the apostles. We are more in tune with the world. We live in the church more like the world than we live by the Gospels. Because the world has evangelized the church more than the church has evangelized the world. Like Jephthah. Just like Jephthah. We are living in the days of Jephthah. That's what we're living in. We are living in the days of Jephthah. Jephthah knew the Ammonite tradition more than he knew the God of Israel. The church knows the world more than we know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's an indictment. That's an indictment. You want to know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because the God of Israel, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the same God, calls his people to live by faith and not by sight. That's the God of Israel. Without faith, St. Paul says, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, he tells us in Hebrews 11, it is impossible to please God. Faith is not something to say, I believe, I believe, I believe. Faith is to put your whole life under the care of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Now let's take now a glance at the United States. Let's take the glance at the United States. I want to tell you, you call many places today, many places that are supposed to be churches, and you get an answering machine. Now, I have an answering machine, too. I have an answering machine, too. On my answering machine, though, I tell them about Jesus. It's time to trust the Lord because he loves you. Okay, most answering machines sound like this. If you want to speak to the school, press 1. If you want to speak to Father so-and-so, press 2. If you want to buy milk at the corner store, press 5. It sounds like a business to me. It sounds like the insurance company. You know, it sounds like Social Security. It sounds like Medicare. You can learn a lot from the answering services that you call. You can learn a lot where their heart is, where they get their tradition from. It sounds like the world to me, rather than, you know? If you want to be blessed, press 1, because we're going to pray for you. If you want to talk to Father so-and-so, he loves the Lord and you can trust him. He's not in right now. Press 2. But we don't think like that. We don't think like that. We get our instructions from the world, but from the Ammonites, not from the God of Israel. We don't live by faith. We live by sight. As I keep on telling you, you know, the Boston Archdiocese is run by lawyers, not by the Archbishop. The lawyers tell him what to do, lest we have to put out more money from our pockets. See, it's all about money. I just want to tell you, it's all about money. The church is all about money. When in reality, money comes when you serve the living God, honest. It really does. I can tell you that's true. Because money comes to me all the time. Money comes to me all the time. Money comes to me all the time. You want to know why? Because I serve the living God. I'm not telling you I do it well. I'm going to tell you that's the truth. I don't do it well, but I do try to serve the living God. And I do try to give more than 25% away. More. I try to keep on letting it flow out. Because my business is not about money. My business is about faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you, I can also get greedy. I'm not going to lie to you. I start thinking about money every once in a while. When I start thinking about money, what I have to do? I have to give it away. I have to give more away. When I start thinking more about money, I have to give more away. You know why? Because money cannot rule me. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I can't be thinking about money. I've got more important things to be thinking about. But I'm not going to lie to you. It enters into my head. And I start thinking, how am I going to supply with this and how am I going to supply with that? And you want to know what? Then I have to give more away. Because that's the only way that I can defeat the devil, by giving more away to God. You know why? Because then I'm living by faith and I'm not wondering. That's how I deal with it. And I do it imperfectly. I don't do it perfect. And I think about money too much still. But you know what? It can go through my head, but I'm not going to be ruled by it. And I'm not going to be ruled by lawyers. I'm going to be ruled by doing the right thing. By doing the right thing for Jesus. The right thing for Jesus in the church. That's what I'm going to be ruled by. Doing the right thing for Jesus in the church. That's what I'm going to be ruled by. I'm not going to be another business. I'm not a business. I am not a business. I'm not into business. I'm into Jesus and I'm into people. I'm not into business. It's not a business. I do not run a business. Believe me, I don't run a business. I don't run anything. I'm just a servant. The servant of the Most High God. When he wants to use me, he puts his hand on my head. Every day at 11:30 from Boston, by the grace of God, he puts his hands on my head, and I try to do the best I can. Listen, sometimes you know how angry I get. That doesn't mean I don't love the church. I love the church. I'd give my life for the church. I received my faith from the church. But you know what? When the church is run by lawyers, I'm going to tell you, when the church is run by money, when the church is run by what, you know, what we have in the bank, you want to know what? God will deplete our treasury. Hallelujah! I wait for the day when they take away our tax-free number. I rejoice in that day, because then we don't have to worry about Uncle Sam. We worry about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not telling you I don't appreciate a tax-free number, but you know what? If people aren't going to give to this ministry because they want to give to this ministry, let them keep the money. Because I'm not in it for the money. I don't pay myself. I'm not in it for what I can get. What can I get? Only what God gives me. And he's given me the treasure to be able to preach every single day. Every single day to you, he gives me that's a treasure. That's a gift. That's an inheritance that most people don't have. Thank you, Lord. Let's go back to the judges. When they cry out to the Lord to have mercy, he sends people. Oh God, look at the church and look at the blood. Look at the blood that Jesus shed. Look at the blood that the martyrs shed. And raise up people that will do things differently in the church. Oh God, raise up people that are filled with the Holy Spirit and unction, that will be zealous after the cross like Francis Xavier. Raise up people like Dominic and Francis. Raise up people like Catherine of Siena. Raise up people, God, we are in need in the church, that you would raise up people, the lowly of the world, to be mighty warriors, to come and put us back on track, that we live by faith and not by sight, that we don't get our cues from the Ammonites and the Hittites and the world. We get our cues from the blood, from the cross, from the gospel. That's where we get our cues. No place else. Raise up people, please. Because your people starve. Because the scripture in Amos is a reality. In the last days, says the Lord, it shall be a famine, not of
bread and water, but of the word of God. Raise up people who will preach the word of God and love your people, God. Raise up people that will be instruments of your mercy and of your love. Raise up people for the sake of the lost, because the lost are getting more lost. And what do we have to give them unless you raise up men and women? Oh, God, raise up people like Vincent Ferrer. Raise up people like Mother Teresa. Raise up people like Padre Pio. Raise up people. Raise up people by the power of the blood. You've got to do it because, God, we're like the Titanic sinking, and we are fixing the chairs on the deck rather than saying, hallelujah, we have one God, and he is a provider. And we will not sink because he promised the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Hallelujah. Raise up people, I pray. Raise up people, raise up people. Raise up people, raise up men. Raise up women, raise up children. Raise me up, oh God, raise me up. I know I'm so imperfect. I know. But God, raise me up to do what you want me to do. Because you know what? I'm no better than the church. I'm no better than the church, Lord. But the church right now is a prostitute. But Lord, we are both prostitute and spotless virgin, and you've got to raise up the spotless virgin again. You've got to raise up the spotless virgin again, that the church cares about you and not the world and not the Ammonites and not the Hittites. Oh, God, Jephthah learned from the world. I don't want to learn from the world. I want to learn from the cross and from the blood, and I want to learn from the apostles, and I want to learn from Abraham. I want to learn from Jacob. I want to learn from Isaac. I want to learn from Isaiah. I want to learn from Jeremiah. I want to learn from Mary. I want to learn. That's where I want to learn. Forgive us, Lord. We have sinned against you. Forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us. Please forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us. Please forgive us. Please. Please forgive us, Lord. Please forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Look at the threats they've waged against your people and stretch forth your hand with mighty signs and wonders and miracles. Raise up people that will preach the word of God in season and out of season. Raise up people that will give their lives for your people. We call on the blood of the martyrs, the blood of the martyrs even today, that people who will die for Christ, we call on the blood of the martyrs that you would do a new thing. And we call upon the cross because he is the martyr who gave his life for us. God bless you. Behold,
I stand. This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.